This episode of Wheat Pete's Word is brought to you by DeKalb Canola. Choosing canola seed? Choose DeKalb, the seed for every season.
Good day and welcome to Wheat Pete's Word here on RealAgriculture.com for Wednesday, September the 22nd. Can you believe it? It is the first day of fall. Dang it, I like summer so much better. It means winter's coming. Ah, well, that's life. On this episode of The Word, volunteers matter. Then yields. Yeah, things are good, but they're not always great. Wheat, residue management, weed control, seed treatments, phosphorus. It's time to get it right as much as I can fit in the next 18 minutes. Let's go. First off, yes, volunteers matter. So cool. The Ontario Agricultural Conference, we are going to feature a segment on volunteers in the interim. We really want your story. We want to know a little bit about your farm and a little bit about how you volunteer. We're going to call it Pay It Forward, because communities, rural communities in Ontario, do not work without volunteers. It's as plain and as simple as that. And we don't thank you enough. We don't promote it enough. And I don't think that we've instilled it in our younger generation enough. So if you are a volunteer and you want to participate, we want you. Email andrew.berry@ontario.ca. Andrew is looking after this. He's a great guy. He'll give you the details, a little short video clip with your farm, where you're located, and how you volunteer and why it makes a difference. It's just cool. andrew.berry@ontario.ca. Okay, gonna move on. And oh my gosh, the first day of fall, and the monsoons have definitely come back. Already some people this morning, Wednesday, September 22nd, saying that between when the rain started on Monday night, Tuesday morning, they've gotten 3 inches of rain already. At my farm in Lucan in September, up until this morning, 5.5 inches of rain. We normally only get three inches for the whole month. We're almost at 6 and it's still raining, double the amount of rain when I want to drill wheat. So lots of discussion on Monday. Do we drill wheat? Do we not drill wheat before all this forecast rain? Oh my gosh. It's always a risk, but I think the answer is you just get it in the ground, because if it's in the bag, it can't grow. Does wheat like wet feet? Not a chance, but at least it's warm temperatures now. It's different than seeding before lots of rain in October when it's going to stay cold. If it stays warm and not super saturated, I mean, 3 inches is too much, but an inch, you know, inch and a half, we can take that. Brett, by the way, planted winter barley. I think it was on September the 1st. On September the 15th, he treated out a picture. It just looks so gorgeous. So whenever people ask me about planting wheat early, this is why we plant wheat early, because then we get 2 weeks of wet weather and suddenly it's late. Stephanie, at Girl Agronomist is her Twitter handle, from Indiana, down in Indiana, planting wheat on September the 16th and saying, you know, keep the Hessian flies away. Stephanie, I think you're fine. Hessian flies rarely are an issue in our part of the world, but I get it. September the 16th is really early. I hope you cut the seeding rate back. Meanwhile, I'm going to move on and talk about farmers. Oh my gosh, you farmers just make me shake my head. So a good friend of mine texted me and said, you know, how's harvest going? And I texted back, great, how about yourself? And he says, yeah, the white beans are off. We got the wheat planted after the white beans. Well, how were the white beans? Oh, ours were just okay. And he goes on to talk about the soybeans. And then a little later in the text, he says, white bean yield, highest yield ever. Our white beans were just okay, and it was the highest yield ever. Oh my gosh, you guys are never satisfied. It just makes me laugh. Meanwhile, on the edible bean yields, boy, they really have been awesome. on good soil, and where they've gotten into some root rots or some bacterial blight, or where we grew them on less than perfect soil, they have been very, very mediocre. So the range, I think, is somewhere around 12 bags per acre, all the way up to over 40 bags per acre, 40 hundredweight per acre. Man, that's a huge range. You only should grow edible beans on your best soil. There's no doubt about that. And August weather, not very conducive, not very helpful to the soybean crop. A lot of soybeans coming off, and they're solid yields, but they're barely average, or they're about average. Lots of, you know, mid-50s, high-50s, low-60s. We've come to expect that in this part of the world, generally speaking. So soybeans just looking average. On the oat front, the oats after wheat, my neighbor Bill saying his oat crop was down 40% from last year. Remember last year, lots of August rain, huge soybean yields. Yeah, well, I guess that made huge oats for forage as well after that crop. This year, way down, kind of doesn't bode all that well for baling this oat crop and shipping it north or shipping it west. By the way, I saw a tweet with a load of red clover going from Essex County to northern Ontario where they're super dry. It's so nice. If you get that beautiful stand of red clover, and I tweeted some pictures of red clover at our Bornholm Research Farm. Oh my gosh, I wish I could grow clover like that. It makes great hay if you can get it dry. It's hard to dry that stuff. But boy, the red clover didn't look like the yield was hurt all that much. Meanwhile, corn coming out of the field at 21% moisture. You know, I think we are early in many parts of the province, but I will say that my good friend Russ Barker there at Woodham and Deb Campbell from Agronomy Advantage both saying that in their area they don't feel that the corn crop is that much advanced. So certainly some regional differences, but boy, 21% corn coming out of the field at, I think it was September the 16th or 17th, that is definitely pretty dry corn for that time of year. And silage yields continue to be awesome. So that is excellent. Okay, want to move on and answer a few quick questions. A caller saying, hey, Peter, talked about rye into alfalfa. What about triticale, fall triticale instead, a forage triticale rather than rye? So the answer is, okay, sure, triticale is good. In fact, some dairy farmers will only grow triticale, not rye, because triticale tends not to lose its feed quality as quickly as rye does. The problem with triticale is that it's probably nearly a week later, 3, 4, 5 days for sure, maybe up to a week later than rye. And if I'm going to plant silage corn after that hay crop, and that's what the question was about, I can't afford to lose that week. So I like rye. It's more aggressive as a seedling. It takes the competition better, and it's earlier so I can get that silage in on time. Meanwhile, Devin saying, hey, Peter, on the oat issue, I have rust in my forage oats. Can I still harvest them? Should I spray them? What about feed quality? We've talked about this before, Devin. The rust doesn't affect feed quality, or there's no toxins, I guess I should say. It does affect feed quality, though, because all those leaves, where all that energy is, all that protein is, the rust wipes that out, and so your feed quality goes down, your yield goes down, no toxins. Just get them cut. It's too late to be spraying them now. We're in late September. Harvest them. Get them into the bag for your cows before they go off quality any further. Of course, with all this rain, that advice might be a day or two just later than we'd like. Okay, I want to move on into the wheat crop. And Warren, oh my gosh, good friend Warren in Eastern Ontario tweets out a picture. And he's planting, drilling wheat in behind soybeans. And the residue spread just makes me drool. If anybody knows of a used Redicop spreader that would go on my 9500 John Deere combine, or has a chaff spreader that they know of kicking around, I actually had to deepen my seed depth on my drill just because my residue spread is less than perfect. And if I planted at the depth I wanted. I just wasn't getting. So residue spread. Please figure out how to get that perfect residue spread. As I drive around the country, most farmers still stink, and it hurts in terms of getting that uniform stand and doing the best job on the wheat crop. We've talked about that before, but I just got to stress it again. On the seed depth issue, a good Twitter discussion. How deep do you go? And Kennedy saying he plants with his John Deere air drill at a 3 and 3 setting. So that's about 1.25 inches, give or take. But remember, you really shouldn't always go by just the setting, because as the discs wear on any of our drills, as the disc wears, that means that your seed depth shallows up. So watch that disc wear as well. Kennedy's on a gorgeous silt loam in Oxford County. If you're on a heavy clay soil, and Tyler pointed this out, on a heavy clay soil, you actually want to go a little bit deeper to make sure that the crown roots get to that 3/4 inch or inch depth. So on a heavy clay soil, we air a little bit deeper, probably 1.5 inches, versus going to that 1.25 inches. I don't like less than 1 inch. That's full stop. It's got to be at least 1 inch. And with our controlled spill devices, generally airing a little bit deeper because they don't do a good job on seed depth placement. And Al McCollum, my great friend, super agronomist, West Elgin County, in the spring, he says the number one issue with wheat is too shallow planting, because on heavy clay soils, we get that frost heave. So if you're questioning it, go that shade deeper. As much as I like the seed to get out quickly, in a perfect world, it would be 1 inch. Go that 1/4 inch deeper is generally better. Okay, want to move on. Want to talk about weed control. So Ruben saying, hey, Peter, harvesting my edible beans, planting wheat, but oh, the horsetail in my edible beans is horrible. What do I do? Do I do tillage? Do I spray? Oh, no. Wait, stop, Ruben. The horsetail is done. It's not going to do any more this fall. So you can spray it out the yin-yang. You can moldboard plow it. You won't affect it, because the nutlets are already developed in the soil, and they're way below the tillage depth. Just drill the wheat. And next spring, we got to use MCPA in the wheat crop, and it's a multi-year process. We can get on top of it, but you have to use the right herbicides in every crop for a number of years. So just plan on MCPA next spring. That's the best we can do there. Meanwhile, Mark saying, okay, Peter, I'm drilling the wheat. Do I spray the Roundup and Aragon now? Do I wait for a few days to let the weeds kind of work out from underneath all that soybean residue? There's a lot of soybean residue. Or do I wait and spray the wheat once it gets up? Our experience would be, if you have the time, get the Roundup Aragon on right after the drill or right before the drill, because you get this wet period and suddenly the wheat's up. If you're going to do that, remember you need the Aragon for the resistant fleabane. If you don't have resistant fleabane, which by the way, I think everybody in Ontario should just assume they do, but then you can just run with straight glyphosate. Is it as good as if you could wait in a perfect world and give the weeds 3 or 4 days to get out from underneath the residue? No, but then the wheat's starting to come up and you get that 1 day of rain, you miss that window. The other option for sure is to go post with something like Infinity FX or Pixero, some of those herbicides that do get good control in the fall, and just make sure you follow the label on those different products. Meanwhile, in Western Canada, oh my gosh, Brian Barris with an excellent tweet saying everybody is worried about herbicide carryover in Western Canada because of how dry it's been. Don't forget, if you're planting winter wheat, the herbicide you applied on whatever crop this spring may impact the winter wheat crop in Western Canada. So pay attention from that front. Okay, I want to move on quickly and just run through some seed treatment questions. Greg from Ohio saying, Peter, do I need insecticide on my wheat seed? And the answer really comes down to, what are you targeting? What are your risks? And so in Stephanie's case, she's in Indiana. She's planting September the 16th. What's the risk? The risk could be barley yellow dwarf virus in that situation. And if you've had barley yellow dwarf virus before, then maybe a seed insecticide could help, but that's only if you're ultra early. If you've had a history of white grubs, if you've had a history of wireworm, the insecticide can do some good. Beyond that, we don't need insecticide on winter wheat here in the Great Lakes Basin. Lewis from Michigan saying, hey, what about biological seed treatments? And he named a few. And the answer is, boy, we continue to look at biologicals. They can have an impact. In fact, Tyler from Brantford doing some quick roots trials on wheat, and he's fairly convinced that where the quick roots was applied, he had better standability. And if your lodging this year was from root lodging and quick roots gave you a few more roots, that's possible, but there was no yield difference whatsoever. And in most of these biological seed treatments, we continue to try to find that silver bullet. We just haven't got there yet. Okay, want to move on and talk about fertility, because man, there's some cool data out there. And we have a great video. I did a little video with Byrne. It's up on Real Ag. And so we'll link it here. But for those people who don't have access to the internet, I'll quickly run through the numbers. The really cool thing about that Bornholm Research Farm, and we're losing it this year, and I don't blame the landowner, but I'm so sad because we've learned so much there. When we took it over, the phosphorus and potash soil tests were right about the break point. They were about a 13 for phosphorus and about a 110 for potash. And we would say normally in that nice loam soil that is on the Bornholm, clay loam soil, Bornholm Research Farm, that at a 13, it's the break point for phosphorus. And you know, I've said it many times, wheat is all about phosphorus, phosphorus, phosphorus. 10 years ago, we started the long-term P&K trials there. It took 6 or 7 years without any applied fertilizer, only a bit of starter, to pull those soil test levels down so they're a 10 or they're an 8, they're responsive. And in other parts, to build them up to a 20 or a 25, where we pulled them down, the zero check, lower fertility, just not terrible, an 8 or a 10 for phosphorus, the wheat yield was 66 bushels per acre. Where we put 100 pounds of MAP, it was 94 bushels per acre, a 28 bushel per acre yield increase. Yes, phosphorus prices have gone crazy. They're through the roof. If you are on a heavy clay soil like the Niagara Peninsula, like down into Lambton County, Essex County, I don't care. You have to put some phosphorus with the wheat seed. You just must, because those are the kind of responses you get if you're on a low soil test. Anywhere in Ontario, if you're sub 13, sub 12 on an Olson soil test, and Mark down in the Delaware area, Delmarva area, asked what soil test we use. We use the Olson, the sodium bicarb. In your situation with a Malic 3, you'd have to look at, you know, is it a low soil test? Is it a medium soil test? These numbers aren't magic. But if you are low, then you simply have to buy some phosphorus. Meanwhile, where we built that soil test. So if I'm farming on a loam soil with 20 or 25 part per million soil test, I'm solidly into the medium category, where we put 100 pounds of MAP, we got 97 bushels per acre. Where we did nothing, we got 94. So only a 3 bushel per acre yield difference. Do you need that phosphorus there? I think the answer is it still does wonderful things. I'm still a seed-placed phosphorus guy, but for sure you can pull that rate from 100 pounds of MAP back to 50 pounds of MAP, or go with a liquid program, and you're not giving up tremendous yield, maybe a little bit. You are maybe giving up a little bit of winter survivability. If we get a tough winter and a little bit of uniformity, I really do like that uniformity, but you could go to zero MAP given the fact that MAP is at $1,000, $1,050, $1,100 a ton. And for 1 year, you don't hurt your yield all that much on those better soil types. With that, I'm out of time. There's a whole bunch more I'd like to get to on that front, but we'll have to cover that next episode. That's it. That's all. On behalf of the team here at realagriculture.com, this is Wheat Pete with the word for Wednesday, September the 22nd. Keep them coming. Questions, tweets, emails, texts. We'll be back next week and be too long again. Bye now.
Thanks for listening to Wheat Pete's Word. Remember, when choosing canola seed, for an easier, faster, smoother harvest, choose DeKalb, the seed for every season.